Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of All Your Base Podcast. I'm Cheese and Beans, and you can find me on Twitter at Jimmy2Times.
And I'm John, and you can find me at Nefirian on Twitter.
You can also follow the show at AYB Podcast on Twitter and email the show at AYBpodcast@gmail.com. I always stutter at that part every week, every chuffing week. So, mate, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Been fairly busy, gaming and non-gaming. So, It's been a busy old time for me. I've got a load of uni work to hand in, but that's kind of irrelevant to gaming, but just gets in the way. So,
it does, mate. It's amazing how much life gets in the way of gaming.
It does.
Thinking about this the other day while I was at work and how much I didn't want to be at work and how much I wanted to be at home gaming, which is a bit of a pain, but never mind. I'm sure I'll be able to retire in about, 50 years?
Yeah, it'll be all right.
And by that point, by that point, my thumbs are going to be that arthritic. I won't be able to play games. The irony of it.
Yeah.
So what have you been playing this week then, mate?
I'll start off with, I've been playing the Black Ops 3 beta, which was the reason I had to play it solid is because it was only on for four or five days.
I thought that was a bit weird. I mean, maybe a week, 2 weeks. 2 weeks would have been great, but a week would have been good. 4 days is really. I mean, a lot of people were hammering it.
Yeah,
a lot of people, and from some of the kind of streams I was watching, there was a queue system in place. Did you ever get held up in a queue?
No, it wasn't too bad. There was quite a lot of lag, but that's kind of expected being a beta.
It's not quite finished.
There's only, I think, three maps in the beta, which was got a little bit stale after playing them, constantly. And also there's I had a few issues with the spawns where you would literally spawn in front of people or behind people, and it was a bit of a. It was too easy to get kills just by spawn trapping people.
Yeah, I've got to find that. I kind of found that as well. Kind of spawn campers, and it got really, really annoying. Really annoying.
And I think one of the annoying things is they actually put your KD in the objective modes, which is kind of irrelevant because obviously the objective is to work as a team and win. So a lot of people find that a bit pointless. Because then people just play for easy kills where people are trying to take a flag and rather than helping the team. So, but it looks a very nice game so far. It's a lot quicker than Advanced Warfare in terms of how quickly you die. I think somebody said it was 15% faster than Black Ops 2 in terms of how long it takes to get a kill. So it is a little. I think I don't know whether the time to kill. I don't know whether they're actually going to reduce that down a little bit because it seems a little bit fast. It seems a little bit more like hardcore. So
yeah, I'll be honest. I found that myself. I'll give a shout out to someone. We're going to come back to the shout out shortly because unfortunately, my man, I cannot remember your name off the top of my head. I really didn't sort of. I didn't have any notes to hand, but yeah, one of the guys who listens to the show it inboxed me kind of privately on Twitter and said, I've got one of these codes, I've got a spell and whatever, do you want it? And at this point, I obviously knew that you had kind of pre-ordered and you were going to have your code as well. So I thought, yeah, go on then, we'll kind of grab that and did that. But I did enjoy the experience of it. And it felt very Black Ops. Did you think that?
Yeah.
For me, it was Call of Duty, but it felt Black Ops. Graphically, I couldn't fault it. I thought it looked really, really good. I agree. There's a bit of a pacing issue there in that. I found that I was sort of dying quickly, or I was killing quickly. There was no kind of medium.
Yeah.
And the spawn trapping, the spawn camping was. Really annoying. I mean, these are things that you need to expect. That's one of the reasons they put a beta out, isn't it? For kind of constructive feedback, I guess, from the community and to kind of see what people think about it. Overall, I was impressed, and it's going to be on my shopping list. I don't think it's going to be a release day buy for me. I think those days for me and Call of Duty have gone, unfortunately. But you know, in saying that, it was a really good game. It was a good experience. The lobbies were for me. Did you ever get any of this experience? The lobbies were either always full or they were empty.
Yeah,
you know, I was with one of the guys, you know, friend of the show, Tickle the Pink, and that's a great name. That's a great name. But I was around his house. I was taking my PlayStation around because you know he was keen to have a little look and see kind of how, you know, how it played, and I guess because he's a big Black Ops fan, you know, we both felt very kind of let down by Advanced Warfare, and traded it in pretty quickly. But I think, you know, he was impressed to a point. Again, though, from the two of us being really big kind of original Black Ops and Black Ops 2 fans, this kind of felt, you hit the nail on the head, mate. It felt hardcore. It felt MLG.
I mean, I started off really badly, and then I did get slightly better. But I mean, the reason I went back to play Advanced Warfare like a few days ago, and I'm consistently coming in the top three in my team if I play objective modes. And I think that's just because I've got used to the style of play of Advanced Warfare. Because obviously, with the Black Ops, you've got wall running, which looks very similar to Titanfall. But obviously, with Advanced Warfare, you've got the 3D movement of Exos, where you can boost over people, around people. So it's a lot. You've got to be a lot more situationally aware in Advanced Warfare than you have maybe in. But in Black Ops, it seems different because you've got to be very situationally aware because you die so quickly.
You do,
and it's too easy with the fast time to kill. It's too easy just to rush around the map and hit people before they even know what's going on. So what's interesting is in Advanced Warfare, they've got this mechanic called toughness, which you can take, which basically means when you get hit, it gives you time to react. So it's a bit like an armor. And you flinch less when you've got it on. Now with Black Ops 3, they haven't got toughness at all. So it basically does feel more like hardcore because you die, you can get hit by flinch, but that's like a random effect of what weapon you're using and the distance you are away from somebody. So I like the what they call the specialists. I got as far as unlocking, I think, the fifth one. But you, as you rank up, you unlock new specialists, and they have their own abilities, which kind of I think they nicked that a bit off Crysis. You know, with the bow, you got the sort of like the scout with a bow, and you had that in Crysis.
Crysis.
There's some really irritating perks, like being able to see through walls, so sort of intravision.
See through walls, yeah.
Oh, and it's just
Regimine.
You've got a UAV up, and you can see through walls. It's a bit mental.
I mean that's a bit of that's a bit OP. I mean that's something they're going to need to really look at. Otherwise, that's going to be kind of a perk, a character specialist that everyone's going to be wanting to use because it gives you so much of an advantage. You know, the idea of being able to use walls, rocks, whatever, is that you can use that stuff for cover. If someone's able to kind of see through that, I mean, UAVs are a bit different. It gives you a general idea of where that person, that body's going to be.
Yeah.
But you're still able to kind of hide and use that sort of stealth element, you know, hiding behind walls and rocks, whatever else, the environment that's there. But being able to see through that, for me, that's too OP, man. That is, you know, you're really taking the mickey a little bit there. I mean, what can you actually do about that? You know,
you can pick up the ghost perk, which makes you basically invisible to UAVs, and I think makes you it's cold-blooded, makes you sharp and thermal. There probably is counters, but I noticed things like ghost were like level 38, rank 38, so they were quite high up in the sort of progress. Yeah. So
By the time you get it, your KD ratio is going to be down in your boots, isn't it? You're going to have died so many times. I mean, whether you'd even sort of stay onto level 38. Although in saying that, I did find out that I was kind of ranking up quite quickly. I think by the time I'd kind of sort of stopped playing it, I was maybe sort of 12 or 13. I'd only really put a few hours into it. I mean, what did you manage to get up to?
I think you were higher than that, weren't you?
Yeah, it's sort of double what I was.
But then I played it a lot more than you, I think.
Yeah, but even in saying that, that was over any other kind of 4 days. I remember sort of having sort of prestige in on some of the other kind of Black Ops and Modern Warfare, you know, the Call of Duty games. It took absolutely forever. But just quickly, while we're kind of on the subject, we're talking about this game. I've just got into my Twitter inbox because I wanted to give this guy a shout out. He hooked me up with a code for it. It's at Mozzers on Twitter. That's Mark. Cheers, buddy. You sorted me out there. I was able to kind of get on there, and obviously now because of that, me and John are able to talk about it on the show. So thanks a lot to Mark. So I mean, the thing is with this the beta. They've given it us now. The game releases what, November
the 6th.
I want to say 15th.
No,
it's 6th. Is it 6th? Yeah. Is it? Okay. Oh, okay. So I thought it was after my birthday. It's actually before. So we've got a bit of time to wait. Can you see them giving us another weekend of this, or do you think that's going to be kind of it now until the full release comes out?
I got a sneaky feeling that's going to be it. I think a lot of it was stress testing for the servers. There's enough people moaning on the forums as usual. I don't know whether the devs actually read them or not, because you know you get people's wish list. I think what would be more constructive is at the end of your play session, it pops up with a little thing that says, you know, how do you feel about this aspect, that aspect? You know, and then they can get a general consensus, because there'll always be somebody that doesn't like snipers. There'll always be somebody that says that, you know, shotguns are overpowered. You know, so, I mean, Call of Duty's tradition is to have one weapon that's normally overpowered slightly. Your go-to weapon that all the community use, but all weapons should be viable in certain situations,
it should be a sort of situational, shouldn't it? Whereas you know, for a certain map, you'll look at maybe sniping. For another map, you'll maybe go to sort of shotguns and maybe, you know, the kind of your kind of MP5, kind of the sort of the lighter artillery kind of stuff. As you pointed out there, generally what's kind of happened with the Call of Duty games over the years is that there will be one gun that is slightly overpowered, and you know, the community pick up on that, and it's never really sort of bungeed, for want of a better phrase. You know, nothing's ever changed to kind of, you know, try and level that out. You know, they generally just kind of leave it in there. And then it's about, you know, what you can then do to maybe nullify that, or, you know, kind of improve your skills with, you know, another weapon. But I guess we'll kind of see kind of what they're
doing. I think it's good, and I think it will be well received. I think the Treyarch ones are a little bit more consistent in terms of quality than. I mean, some people don't like the Black Ops series. It's kind of weird because you've got three studios now doing it in rotation. You're going to have fans of certain ones. And then obviously they may avoid it in the years when, you know, when they're out of rotation, the studio's not actually producing it that year. So I wonder if it's going to become a bit like that, where you get the people that love Treyarch and people that like the Infinity Ward ones. And then people that will like that, the guys that done Advanced Warfare. I don't understand I don't see how you can keep it in the future forever, because it's kind of going to become Halo at some point with spaceships and lasers and everything. So I'm hoping maybe one of them will spin off to back to Vietnam, or there's loads of stuff like that, World War II, that you could explore.
You know, you've got the kind of Gulf conflict. You've got the Falklands. You've got all these other sort of smaller kind of events that have kind of gone on. And for the ideally, it'd be really great for them to explore these other battles. I mean, and these other kind of wars that have gone on. Whereas, kind of what they're doing, they've kind of sold out a little bit. You know, we've just had advanced warfare.
Mm.
You know, really, what you could have done in that time. I mean, don't get me wrong, the beta was really cool. I enjoyed my time with it. But it just seems to be a reskin of last year.
Mm.
And what we want is something fresh, something different. And really what they've given us is kind of what we had before. So it just doesn't feel new, it doesn't feel fresh anymore. And I think that's what the Call of Duty brand needs, is it needs a bit of a shake up. This thing about, you know, the kind of you know, keeping it in the future again and stuff like that, I mean, that's no good. You know, you need to chop and change things around a little bit, and I think that they've made a big mistake in doing that. That's my opinion. Anyway.
Oh, I think that's why they added the specialists, just to give it, try and mix it up a bit. The only thing that concerns me is everybody will start using the same specialist, which kind of defeats the object then.
Because then they become the norm rather than anything kind of special, really.
I don't know. I think the problem for Call of Duty is that, you know, this is a 12-year-old franchise. It's gonna lose its legs a bit after a certain time, because, you know, it's a sticking to a formula, isn't it, for those many years.
But I mean, if you just kind of look at some of the games that we were talking about a couple of shows ago, so World of Tanks, for instance.
Mm.
If the Call of Duty franchise and, you know, the kind of companies that are involved, sort of Sledgehammer, Treyarch and Infinity Ward, if they were to kind of put their kind of resources into developing a Call of Duty game about kind of tank warfare, for instance, or maybe like an Ace Combat kind of game where it's all based on dogfights, you know, these are just a couple of ideas there. But, you know, it doesn't have to be about run and gun and, you know, And that kind of thing. I mean, they could branch out. Warfare is such a massive thing that, you know, they do have options there. But to just kind of keep going, you know, sort of chasing their tails, and it does annoy me about it is that they'll expect us to buy that. You know, when it kind of flops and it kind of doesn't do so well, there'll be questions asked, and it's a bit like, well, are you for real? You know, you've basically given us what you gave us, or what you, you know, the other company, excuse me, gave us last year, and you're expecting people to sort of, you know, shell out 55 quid out the old skyrocket to buy that. And it's just, I can't see where in anyone's you know, mind that makes sense. You know, us as people who, you know, gamers, you know, anyway, the ones that I kind of sort of know, and, you know, the ones that I'm involved with, they're not stupid people. You know, 55 quid, 60 quid, 70 quid, it's not pocket change. It's, you know, it's quite a chunk of cash. Yeah. When you're parting with a game that's potentially only going to last you kind of, what, 11 months? And even then, that's if you actually get into the game and you want to play it for that amount of time. That Advanced Warfare guff from last year, I traded that in after, what, 2 days, 3 days? You know, traded it in for GTA. I was happy I kind of got away with that one a little bit. But, you know, I'm getting a little bit kind of riled. I mean, it's not just Call of Duty. Call of Duty for me is kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Call of Duty for me is like kind of the epitome of kind of what's going wrong with kind of video games and kind of companies and stuff, in that they just, they kind of repackage it, they slap a new sort of face of paint on it, and so there you go, new game. It's not a new game. I mean, really, it's what we got kind of last year, but from a different company. Mm. And really, with the money that they've made, the fan base that they've got, you know, they kind of owe it to the people that kind of keep them in the position that they're in, to give them something new, something exciting, something worth playing. It sounds like I'm giving Call of Duty a panning, and I suppose I am. I mean, at some point I will pick it up, because I do enjoy sort of dropping in and out of it. But for me, you know, it's going to sound... I mean, people think we're kind of fanboys anyway, but, and I suppose to a point, you know, at least I am, but that it's no Destiny. I don't really see kind of what Call of Duty offers that something like Destiny doesn't. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather go to that as a first-person shooter to play in a kind of group game rather than the kind of team deathmatches and stuff that I've been involved with in Call of Duty. I've never really found that to be where it's kind of team deathmatches. Okay, the term team is quite loose. You may be on the same team as someone else, but they're not really going to watch your back. Even, I mean, okay, if you're on with kind of people that you know, that's a different story. But if you're on with a group of people that you know you maybe don't know, you're on your own. You may be in a team, but you're on your own.
That leads nicely into another game that I've been playing, which is Gears of War Ultimate Edition.
Oh, now, nice. Now, I'm still waiting for my copy to arrive, which I'm a little bit miffed about, mate.
I've not played this loads because it only came out Friday. I've played multiplayer up to about rank 7 or 8, so it's not very high. But I think the difference between that is with the multiplayer in Gears of War, because it's elimination, so basically if you're team versus team, you don't get a respawn. People tend to play in a much more tactical way than they do on Call of Duty.
Yes.
They have added a team deathmatch mode where you do respawn, but you still have to cover each other because, you know, as soon as your teammates drop off and they're out of the round, you know that the whole team's going to be bearing down on you. So it's a very nice looking game. I mean, the multiplayer is 1080p with 60 frames a second, and which is quite impressive.
The
campaign is 30 frames a second, but that's fine because it's not really as fast paced as the multiplayer side.
Yeah, it doesn't really need to be, does it? No, just quickly, mate, did you buy this on disc or did you download it?
I got it digital download. I think it's $29. So,
okay, that's nice. I might even cancel my order from Amazon then and just buy it digitally because, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be here. Amazon, I'm going to give you a little bit of a slap on the wrist here. Live on air. This is the first time it's happened with Amazon with me. But if you say you're going to, you know, release a game and get it, you know, and I'm going to get it on release day, then, you know, you need to kind of follow that through a little bit. So I'm going to cancel that order and I'm going to get it digital.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's about £2 in it, I think, in terms of retail and digital.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with kind of digital, you've got it there at a press of a button, haven't you? You're able to just kind of, you haven't got to put a disc in. I mean, even when you get a disc, you have to install part of it and then you're going to have to sort of switch to put the disc in when you want to play it. So I think, I can kind of see the point in the digital downloads. And the only thing is, I still haven't kind of got an external kind of hard drive for the...
Neither have I, but I mean, I'm just kind of like, it's a game that I would not trade in anyway, I don't think, because I was a massive Gears fan on the 360, so it's not like the Halo.
What's the...
sorry, what are you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the damage on the install? How many gig is it?
44 gig.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Okay.
It does that is, I mean... Doable. Check this out, that's 20 multiplayer maps as well. So it's giving you 20 maps and all the characters. There are a few unlockable characters. I played Act 1 of the campaign, that still is... I don't actually remember playing Gears 1 campaign. I must have done, but I just can't recall. Yeah. I can recall bits, but... You know, it's still impressive. I mean, this is a 2006 game. It's still impressive to play, and the only thing that does feel a little bit that you're tied down is the fact, you know, the limitation on weapons when so many games now have multiple weapons. You've got the shotgun, and basically when you're on the versus mode, it's basically just running around with shotgun, but I mean, it's still good fun. You know, you can't expect it to be... I mean, it looks a lot better than it did on the 360. Because obviously it's 1080p. And the textures are pretty sharp. But the game's aged really well, I think, for that title. There's loads of people playing it.
What are you saying?
Which is good.
Yeah, I mean, Gears has got a massive kind of fan base, hasn't it? So that's... I think it was always going to kind of do well. I'm looking forward to picking this up, mate. And
obviously, you can You can play the full campaign co-op as well, which is a bonus.
Yeah.
Oh, but
sorry,
I was just going to mention as well the difference between Black Ops 3 this year as well is the fact that I think the whole campaign is 4-player co-op.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so that is.
Yeah, that's that brings us something a bit new to the party. Yeah. That's definitely something.
I know what you mean. I think I agree partly with what you're saying, but they do try and mix it up a bit. I mean, they're going to have to, otherwise people are just going to. I think Call of Duty Ghosts was the lowest ever selling Call of Duty game. Advanced Warfare was a bit better selling, but it was nowhere near the sort of Black Ops numbers. So I think, you know, I think Activision are chucking all their weight behind Black Ops 3 because they know that the, you know, Black Ops 1 and 2 were quite big hitters.
Yeah. Well, I for one kind of hope it happens, but I guess we'll wait and see, won't we?
The campaign for Advanced Warfare was actually quite good, quite enjoyable. It's almost like watching an Arnie action film, isn't it, when you play those sort of games, you know?
Yeah.
They are what they are, really.
And the character kind of model, Kevin Spacey was
really
absolutely
good,
fantastic. Yeah. I mean, they did a great job of that.
Although, I don't know, and their facial animations and stuff are getting a lot better, and sort of looking a little bit more like any other game, Crysis, but I don't know what's happened to Crysis. It seems to have, you know, the Crysis series seems to have gone off the radar a bit at the moment.
Maybe they're cooking something up, you know, and they're going to kind of drop it on us at some point.
Sort of appear in the media release. Or whatever, but.
Yeah! Under the radar.
Oh, Crysis 4 is out. Didn't tell anybody.
It's actually been out for 6 months now. Oh,
I do like the Crysis game.
Sold like three copies.
Top notch.
I think I played the second and third one on PS3, yeah. I think.
But a new next-gen Crysis game would be most welcome if they produce one eventually. The only other thing that I've been playing that I can was really surprised how much I liked it was NFL 16.
Yeah, I saw you were playing that, mate. Saw you playing that.
I really like it. I played 15, and I bought 15, and then obviously I played in the vault. And 15 was the first Madden game that I played, and I did struggle with it, not being a massive... I know enough about, you know, American football to watch it, but I found it a little bit confusing to play. Madden 16 actually... The tutorials were a lot more in depth this time, so the guy actually explains why your players are in certain positions, and I managed to win two games on the bounce against the Chicago Bears and I can't remember the other guy, Patriots, I think, but I was playing as the Green Bay Packers. But I really like it. What they've done this time is you've got like the impact of when the actual players hit each other. It seems a lot more realistic. Yeah. So, you know, you can also sort of like when you tackle people, it feels really kind of realistic. Like that's how they would react to the tackle. When you pass in the ball, you can do high passes and low passes this time. So you can actually feed the ball to the player, and you've got a choice of four different throws when you're actually throwing it to the player. So it's really
okay.
But once I got into it, I didn't notice the time goes. So that must mean that I'm enjoying it because I don't know with FIFA, I kind of feel I'm not clock watching, but I'm thinking, well, let's make the half as short as possible. I mean, is that because I'm not enjoying it as much, or, you know? I mean, I was playing 15-minute halves with Madden, and I was really enjoying it, and I was starting to get my head around the tactics of it all, and it's quite an intelligent game, actually. You think it's just a bunch of meatheads running into each other, but...
No, it's quite tactical, isn't it?
The playbook is really, really... And you can create your own plays as well, which is even more complicated in depth if you want it to be. And it is a sort of game I could see actually buying rather than waiting 9 months for it.
With them playbooks, I mean, you know, you can make them, you know, as advanced or as kind of as easy as you want to make them, can't you? It's about kind of how much effort you want to put into it, how much thought and stuff you want to kind of put into it.
You obviously can't tell me, right? But I'm wondering, because Madden this year as well, it's got, I played the franchise mode, which is sort of the career mode where you run the whole club.
Yeah.
But you've got a thing called player confidence. Now, I don't know whether this is the same as morale, but basically you get 10 hours pre-match. Basically, your whole team earns XP as they play, which is really interesting.
Okay.
Now, you reach goals. So it will say during the game, I want you to run offensively towards their team, like, say, 100 yards. And then when you achieve that goal, that weekly goal, then your player gets XP. There's also like a synergy thing where all the players get XP. But what you do is before the next match, you can go in and spend your XP points upgrading your players' abilities. So like they're gaining experience throughout the season as they play. But like the manager, the team confidence as well is also to do with the manager, which is really interesting mechanic. So obviously, if you've got really experienced players, but they've got no confidence in you because you haven't played very well with them, then they're going to start losing.
Yeah, that definitely puts like a different slant on things and gives you something, another kind of faction to kind of think about, isn't it? Something else to kind of, I guess, work on and try and keep in check. That you need it to be kind of working harmoniously, don't you? There's no point in having players that are playing well, you're not coaching well. It kind of is a vicious circle there, is that they won't play well because you're not coaching well. Until you kind of break that cycle, then everything's going
to
be
pumped. It's interesting because it's almost teaching you how to play players in the right positions. Because it's saying, get this guy forward so many yards, and you do it, and then you're actually thinking about that when you're actually playing the game. Rather than just chucking everybody forward and trying to grab somebody or sack the quarterback, you know, you're actually using the whole team as a team together rather than just using one player to score. You know, like with FIFA, you can just use three players all the time and ignore the rest of the team.
It becomes more strategic.
You know, and I thought that was really, it's a really good looking. It's quite surprising how much better looking than it was 15. I'm really hoping that FIFA is a lot more of an improvement on last year, but until I can actually get to play the 10-hour demo, I can't really say anything. And
My lips are sealed, matey. I cannot comment on that at all. Maybe next week. I don't really know what the situation is with that. I need to look into it a bit more. But at the moment, I can't say anything.
Break any embargoes, but I recommend to you playing the NFL 16.
I've seen that it had come on to the Xbox One.
Yeah,
I think
so.
Is that what you play? Yeah. Xbox One? Yeah. I mean, I didn't get so much into it. At 15, I downloaded it from the vault, played it a bit, felt that the tutorials were quite weak and that very, as you said yourself, there, you know, quite weak. And then it was just basically about they wanted you to learn through repetition. It was like, you need to make 10 passes, make 10 passes. Okay, now you can pass. You need to make 10 blocks. You block. Okay, now you can block. And then they throw you into the game, and it's like, well, hang on a minute. Just because I can kick my legs and sort of flap my arms, that doesn't mean I can swim. I kind of, you know, I got a bit of a spank in my first game. I used to be a big Miami Dolphins fan back in the day. Me and my twin brother, we used to stay up late and watch it on Channel 4. But I haven't really watched it or really paid much attention to American football for a long while. I think I'll give 16 a go, and, you know, I like kind of what you're saying there. It sounds a lot more strategic now, and, you know, obviously if it's going to kind of teach you the kind of physics of the game, I'd be more interested in that way.
That's the thing. What I was trying to think about FIFA is, if you didn't know it, imagine if you didn't know anything about football or anything about American football, that, you know, FIFA would be really difficult to get into because it doesn't really explain why your players shouldn't be offside. Do you see what I mean? It doesn't explain the game as such.
No, it assumes
you know everything about football.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's very kind of, it's very, you know, it does assume a lot. FIFA, as the majority of sports games do. I'll tell you one that I found in the vault that I thought was very good with the tutorial, and it gave it you right from the bat, right off the bat. Sorry, before you actually did anything, and that was the basketball game. What was it? NBA 15, or EA's basketball game last year. It's in the vault. Via EA Access, but as soon as you kind of load it up, you start playing. I mean, you can't just jump in there and So basketball, as you've kind of loaded it up, the you're kind of prompted then to practice your kind of your dribbling, and it kind of teaches you some kind of sort of basic techniques that you can use to beat players, which is very, very handy. Now on something like FIFA, when you are using your skill moves and things like that. It just seems a little bit too fancy. It's almost like you're doing kind of a combination on Street Fighter. You're like a special move, and it seems really out of place when you're playing football. Whereas when you're doing it in the basketball game, it feels quite intuitive. You can see that your player's switching the ball from hand to hand, and it feels like it actually works. Another thing with the shooting. You know, long gone are the days from something like, you know, Jordan versus Bird on the Mega Drive, or what was the other game I used to play? Dave Robinson, Supreme Court, again on the Mega Drive. You know, these games where you'd basically hold down the X button and then let go of it at the top of the jump. Okay, you still have to do that, but you actually get a percentage now of kind of from where you are in relation to where the basket is. Your percentage of if you actually get in the kind of sweet spot, the percentage of you making that shot. So long gone are the days of kind of NBA Jam where, you know, from if you released it at the top of your jump, you'd be hitting three pointers from sort of, you know, the center of the, from, you know, way back in the center of the court. You're not going to be doing that, and if you do, it's by fluke. It's not going to happen regularly.
Yeah.
And I think by putting that percentage in, they're showing that it's not, you're not going to score every time. Therefore, you're having to, you know, you're making calculated, you know, you're kind of weighing up kind of risk all the time. You know, are you going to score from here or are you not? Should you go a bit closer? You know, obviously, if you're going for a two-pointer, you're going for a dunk, there's more chance of you getting, of kind of getting that shot. But I really do like those kind of, those features. And it's not so much holding your hand through the game, but it's showing you the basics that you need to be able to play your first game. And giving you that right off the bat is really good. And, you know, you've got to put your, you know, you've got to applaud EA for doing that. I don't know any other company that's kind of done that with a sports game kind of recently, so yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I do like sports games, but they need to explain that, you know, there's an assumed level of knowledge. It's like fighting games, isn't it? I mean, it's like if you fire up Street Fighter. I mean, I tried to play Street Fighter the other day online and I just got absolutely destroyed, and I think the learning curve on that game is pretty almost vertical, because like with FIFA, like with anything, you're going up against people that have been playing the franchise for years. I can see how Street Fighter is really good when you know how to play the character, but you know, I read a post saying just go in the training room and practice. But I don't find that the commands list, I don't think they relate very well to the controller that you're using, because it kind of assumes that you're using a fighting stick, which you're not necessarily got. So some of the combos, unless you know what the icons mean in relative to the controls, it's quite difficult to work out what you should be pressing.
Street Fighter. I think now again, you've just kind of knocked, you've kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head there. Is that obviously this is a franchise that's been going umpteen years, and it just kind of assumes now that everyone's played it, whereas that's not actually the case. And you know, it alienates, you know, quite a few gamers when they come and play it for the first time. They're in the training room, they're trying to sort of learn these combos, these sort of special moves and whatnot. It doesn't really do a very good job of explaining it, but. I don't think, you know, there's so many games that are like that these days. And I think something else as well, mate, is that back in the day, games would come with instruction booklets, and that's very rare these days that a game will come with an instruction booklet, maybe a little pamphlet inside, but not so much with the booklet.
I think they can always improve tutorials in games. I mean, it's not very hard to show you how to do a certain move. They can even draw a little, you know, animation of the controller and moving the things in the right direction, just to give you an idea. I mean, I'm talking about if it's got a complex movement system of controls, like Street Fighter, for example. You're not unless you're sitting with somebody or watching somebody play it. But it's a very difficult thing to show on a YouTube video, because you'd have to be filming your controller and filming the action on the screen and getting them sort of picture in picture so you could understand what you were doing.
You'd need like some sort of split thing, wouldn't you?
I mean, I did look for Street Fighter sort of tutorials, but they're all pretty advanced for people that just want to do some supercharged combo or something. But I'll keep persevering with that one, because I do enjoy it. But, don't know, playing the computer on medium is still pretty hard if you're learning. You think it's... Even medium seems punishing to me. Maybe it's not to experienced people who go, oh, yeah, I just play through on the hardest difficulty, unbeaten or something, and you think, well, that makes me sound absolutely rubbish at the game. I can't even beat it on medium.
It's all about the practice, isn't it? It is really all about the practice. And Street Fighter, you know, that's...
It's quite a frustrating game if you're not doing well on it, I think.
Oh, yeah, the amount of rage, you know, rage quit and... The amount of sort of controllers I broke on that sort of back in the day was I lost count with Street Fighter. Definitely, that was my biggest raging game.
Do they
game.
Still do the thing where they every, you know, if you win two in a row, then they automatically ramp up the difficulty of the third fight? Do they still do that? They used to do that, because then if you went to restart it, you got on that fight again, and it was a lot easier, because it's the, you know, they obviously dropped it down a bit in difficulty. I'm not saying it's dynamic, but I remember that's a trick that used to be in arcade games, or obviously the further you got, the harder it got, because obviously they wanted you to put more money in the machine.
So, yeah, that's it. Yeah, they wanted you 50p, didn't they?
So that's really all I've been playing. It doesn't sound like a lot, but with beaters and... I don't know, you have to put time into it to actually be able to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've been with yourself there playing some of the Black Ops beta, I'm not American, beta. More recently though, I've been playing something that I have seen on Steam on sale, and I've seen it on the iOS store again, you know, quite cheap. It's recently landed on PSN, and I'm kind of eyeing it up. I knew the kids had been playing it. It's a game called Goat Simulator. Now I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's not something that I would normally go out and buy. You know, the kids are kind of sort of saying, you know, oh, Dad, we want this, whatever. And I'm like, well, you know, we'll get it for your tablet then. But I'd seen some guys playing it on Twitch. And it really reminds... I know you're a goat, and it's just going to sound a little bit weird. Hopefully you can see where I'm coming from. But it really reminds me of Tony Hawk's from kind of sort of PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2. Because of the... One, you've got the ragdoll physics, yeah? Two, the... Just the kind of general controls of the goat. You can manual, you can wall ride, you can... Basically, it's like they've swapped Tony or a skateboarder... Stop, you know, you don't generalize it for one character there, but a skateboarder to a goat. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, man, I've had a blast playing this game. Have you played it?
I got it on PC. I got given a code for it kindly by a friend. I have played it a little bit. I can remember it was pretty bonkers.
It's absolutely nuts, mate. And, you know, me, the missus, the kids, and Stitches earlier on. With this game, you know, you sort of sticking onto a car with your tongue and then getting dragged around, sort of flopping around all over the place. It's absolute blast. And at the minute, I think it's actually off sale now, so I think it's about sort of £7 or £8, but definitely worth picking up. And it's going to give you, you know, a few hours of enjoyment there. It's going to be an easy platinum trophy for you guys. So if you've not check that out. I can recommend that wholeheartedly. Something else that I picked up, I've not played so much of yet. I'm hoping to get a little bit of time in on it this evening, but we'll kind of see how that pans out, is another game which is a port from PC, I think, and it's called I Am Bread. Have you played this game?
No. Is it? Let me guess. Do you play as a piece of bread?
You play as a slice of bread, and the idea is that you want to get toasted, nicely toasted. Mm. So, So, your four kind of shoulder buttons, L1, R1, R2, and L2, correspond to corners of said slice of bread. And you kind of flip and twirl and whatever your way around the kitchen, around wherever you are, and the kind of object being is that you need to get to the toaster to, you know, become toast. Mm. Played a bit of the tutorial earlier, and it reminds me, I'm pretty sure it's done by the same studio that did Surgeon Simulator,
right.
But I can't be too certain on that. But yeah, I mean, it very much reminds me. Do you ever play Octodad? Do you ever play that for the? Well, I had it on the PS4, but again, very sort of weird gaming that you kind of control. You're controlling kind of four limbs, and you have to kind of coordinate that to, you know, obviously move your character. And you know, at first it feels very, very alien, but you know, the more you play it, the easier it becomes, and actually quite enjoyable. So yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into that. That's
is
that's
this
going to
replace Destiny, do you think, this game?
Never. Nothing will replace that game.
It just sounds ridiculous. I know it's probably quite fun to play, but I mean, I was pushing my boundaries to Goat Simulator, but you know, playing as a piece of bread.
This is the thing, is that, I mean, what I'm kind of looking for is that, I mean, you know, I obviously take certain games kind of very, very seriously. You know, I really want to be good at those games, and I put a lot of time and effort into that. But I think, you know, you do kind of need that kind of comic relief to be able to kind of step away and sort of for things not to be so serious, you know. And that's kind of, I guess, you know, with those two games, they're kind of what I'm aiming to kind of get from them. But I guess we'll see. I mean, I'm not expecting any kind of longevity out of them. I mean, both of them are under a tenner. If I get a week's worth of sort of gaming out of them, and you know, the kids a bit longer, and I get a couple of platinum trophies out of it, then you know, I'm well happy, mate. Well happy. We're kind of, time's kind of catching up with us a little bit. We're going to talk a bit about some hardware. I mean, I think we're probably going to have time to go through some of the hardware purchases that we've made recently. Do you want to start off with that, mate? What is it you managed to weigh in with? Which I'm quite, I guess I'm a little bit jealous about it, because now you've got the Trinity, haven't you?
I completed the Wii U, which I really got it because. Don't get me wrong, I'm not bored with next gen, but I do find the PS4 and the Xbox offer pretty much the same thing. Apart from the Kinect, there isn't much in it. I mean, you can have the PlayStation camera, I know, but I don't know. And it's always appealed to me, the fact that I've got a 3DS, and I've always enjoyed Nintendo's offerings, most of them. And I don't think they release terribly bad games in the same way as
they seem to release they certainly release less stinkers than
you're not going to find lots of shovelware on Nintendo. So I really played it so I could play some Mario Kart. Play some Zelda, and you know, maybe see what happens with the what's coming up with this Mario Maker game. You know, I just want something different to play that is a little bit more, I don't know, on the gameplay side than the graphics.
You'll definitely get that with Nintendo, mate, and hopefully, you know, over the next kind of few weeks, you know, you're going to be able to keep us updated with any kind of developments, kind of what you've been playing, how you found it, and how it sort of stacks up against.
I guess it's competitors. I have played it a little bit, but I think one of the things that is, I do like the touch screen, the controller with the screen built in that you can switch to, you know, you can turn the telly over. And then just carry on playing your game on the small screen. I mean, that's something that I'm pretty, I don't know, I still think it's pretty impressive. Because it's a kind of mix between a console and a handheld then, isn't it? It's a kind of hybrid.
It is very much a hybrid, yeah.
So
the thing is, it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's not trying to push any boundaries. It knows its limitations, and it sticks to what it's good at, which is the gameplay. And Nintendo's always done that.
I mean, you know, the 1080p, I mean, playing Mario at 1080p, it's clean, crisp sort of colours. The colours are brilliant on the Nintendo. You know, and I think for those sort of games, I thought, well, you know, maybe this is just purely a cartoon sort of console for cartoon type games. And then I played the Bayonetta 2 demo and I was pretty impressed. You know, that was 60 frames a second, you know, similar to Devil May Cry, quite intense, lots of stuff happening on the screen. And I didn't appear to see any slowdown, yeah. So I was quite impressed by that game as well. So I think there's been a lot of people saying, oh, it's rubbish because it hasn't got this and that in it. But, you know, the games use the hardware to their advantage. And, you know, I've seen a lot of games on the, not on the PS4 so much, but on the Xbox, where the Xbox frame rate absolutely drops off. And I don't understand why, so... Yeah, you've got to kind of question, you know, it's got to be a balance between good writing of software, good code, optimized code, and, you know, a game that's, you know, I mean, the best, I'm thinking of, like, say, the Naughty Dog games, the Uncharted games, for example. You know, they're really, really polished, but they take time to make. You know, they're not rushed out. And Nintendo seem to be not in a rush to just bring stuff out. You know, they always have a little think about what they're doing and bring out stuff when they think it's ready.
They do. I mean, you know, they generally seem to kind of get their timing right. So, you know, keep us updated, mate. Let us know how things go on with that. It's going to be good to now we can be sort of saying that we are true kind of multi-platform. Yeah. And we have all our bases covered. I'm just checking out the time there, matey, and I think we are about out of it, I'm afraid. Sorry, boys and girls, but I'm kind of going away this week. We do have someone looking after the house, just in case you've got any ideas about coming round here and stealing anything that I don't leave here. But we've hired a guy with a couple of big Rottweilers. To come and sit here at iTunes Towers for us, so get those dirty ideas out of your heads. But I think that's wrapping it up for this week, matey. Whether you've listened to it or not as of yet, guys, we are looking to get a 0.5 out for next week, which is hopefully going to be coming, and hopefully going to now be, you know, kind of a regular thing, you know, with the show. So make sure that you've subscribed so you're getting, you know, both your weekly doses of oil-based podcast.
Yes, indeed.
All right then, matey. So I'll see you online shortly. Okay. Cool. And listeners, we shall we'll speak to you next week.
Indeed.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.